Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. This is the show where we help to make you a more intelligent real estate investor, no matter where you are in your journey, at the beginning or more advanced. Today is our Q&A episode where we answer three questions from three of you with finance, real estate related questions. It doesn't matter. And we will do my attempt to try to answer those questions to the best of my ability. You can ask me a question if you'd like by going to our website. Just go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton, and there you will leave us a 30-second voicemail message. Okay, so our first message today is from Jordan. Take it away, Jordan.
Hi, Clayton. Jordan here from Pensacola, Florida. Got a question for you about owning a home versus renting. I've heard you say several times that owning a home is not ideal because it's not a performing asset and that you should have the rental properties that you own pay for your place to stay. My question to you is this: is it not the best way to live in a place is to actually own that home and involve a line of credit like a HELOC, so that you can buy more rentals as opposed to only renting and never really having any equity in a property, therefore not being able to utilize a line of credit on your rental because you don't own it? I hope that makes sense. I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jordan. Great question. I mean, it's a question I get an awful lot, and there's different ways to look at this. So Jordan's question is about owning a home versus renting it, and I appreciate that. Look, we've been spoon-fed this idea of the American dream, right? This idea of buying a house to live in, that somehow brings us closer to some sort of American dream. But the problem is, and Jordan's question hits on it perfectly, is the down payment question. So what Jordan's hoping for is obviously using the equity in the home eventually as a home equity line of credit and then going out and buying other additional rental properties. Okay. There's just a flaw in that logic. So let's say Jordan takes $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 as a down payment and buys a house to live in. Now, he's literally just, I don't want to say thrown that money away, but in many ways he has. He's given that to a bank. And remember, the bank owns that house. You don't, probably for 30 years. So now you've got maybe $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 worth of equity in that house. And a bank is only going to give you, you know, anywhere from 75 to 80% loan to value on a home equity line of credit. So now you're going to get back less in equity on a home equity line of credit to go out and then use that to buy rental properties. So you could take that $70,000, $80,000 in down payment, maybe it's $50,000, and use that to purchase rental properties and, you know, use that down payment, that lump of cash. And with interest rates being as low as they are, now you are creating and buying performing assets that are putting money in your pocket. And Jordan also brought up the point of a performing asset. Look, a house that you live in and own is an asset after all, right? It's an asset, especially if you have some equity in it. Like if you own a car fully, that's an asset, right? But, and so is owning gold and so forth, but it's not a performing asset. So it's not producing monthly cash flow for you. And that's the benefit of owning rental properties. Now, you could have other performing assets that are spitting off cash like a business that is also bringing in money. So it doesn't have to be rental properties that you're purchasing. But ideally, that's certainly a great way to build wealth. So if you want, you know, look, interest rates are incredibly low. And if you want to own a home and you're in a particular market where it makes sense financially to own the home versus renting it, then sure, go ahead and do that. But the bottom line is when you buy a house, it is not a performing asset. It is taking money out of your pocket every month in the form, you know, you're paying taxes, you're paying utilities, you're paying, you know, all of the stuff that the city requires, et cetera. You got to fix it up. You have problems. You got to go to Home Depot, make the fixes, upgrades, improvements. If you're renting a home that you in a school district that you like and want to be in for many, many years, then you have your rental properties paying for your lifestyle and you get to live in whatever house you want because it's a rental property. So if you are interested in the method of using the home you live in to buy rental properties, you know, we've written a whole book on that subject called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. You can find it on Amazon. But again, having a home that you live in is not a performing asset. It is an asset, but it is not producing monthly cash flow. So I hope that answers it for you. I'm not going to tell you one way or the other, Jordan, on which way to go on it. I just want you to realize that that huge down payment that you've been saving for, you could end up maybe even buying one or two rental properties that are going to produce $3,000, $6,000 a month in cash flow. Okay. And then you could go and rent someplace to live and, you know, rent a place for $2,000 a month. And now you've got $4,000 a month more over your rent ceiling, and you actually have assets now in your, you know, in your asset column. So these are all things to consider. I don't want to tell you one way or the other, but this is certainly what a lot of really intelligent real estate investors do. It's they use the rental properties to pay for their lifestyle. I hope that helps you, Jordan. Thank you for that great question. Very thought-provoking one. Today's episode is brought to you by R Crowd. Do you wish you were in on some of the early best-performing IPOs of 2019 and 2020? Well, R Crowd investors were, and now you can join them in what's next. So what R Crowd does is they work with accredited investors that have access to invest directly, easily, and most importantly, early with these incredible, incredible opportunities. So our crowd investors have benefited from, think about like before these companies were IPOing, like Beyond Meat or companies like Intel or Nike or Microsoft or Oracle. So our crowd's investment professionals leverage their extensive network to review some of the most promising private companies and startups in the world. They do all kinds of due diligence. They select a deal. They offer accredited investors the opportunity to invest right alongside of them with the same terms that they get. You know, there's an old saying that, like, if you're investing in a company by the time it's on Wall Street, then, you know, all of these other smarter people have already made their money. So now what our crowd does, it basically, it lowers the playing field, right? It makes it equal. And that's what's so great. That's what I love about it. So the average person can get in on these deals, and you've got to check them out. So if you're an accredited investor, you can join our crowd for free by going to OurCrowd, that's ourcrowd.com/investing. You have to put that slash investing so they'll know you came from us. And you can review their current deals. There's no payment involved until you decide to participate in a deal. And you review the deals, you have access to R Crowd's investor relations teams. You can talk to them directly on the phone about your personal investment goals. Again, accredited investors can participate in a single company deal for as little as $10,000 or as little as some of the funds as $50,000. So today you can actually join R Crowd's new investment in an investment called Future Family. It's a fintech innovator removing the cost and complexity of fertility care as they transform the rapidly growing multi-billion dollar fertility care industry. Future Family's products give everyone the opportunity to build a family of their dreams. So you can get in early on Future Family and other unique opportunities at rcrowd.com/investing. It's the R Crowd account is totally free. Just go to rcrowd.com/investing. That's OurCrowd.com/investing. All right, our next question is from Dia. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Dia, take it away.
Hi, Clayton. This is Dia Muhammad. I've been following all your YouTube videos and your voice message, Q&A sessions and all that. And I just wanted to leave a quick question. I just wanted to ask that if I'm using, the funding in terms of the down payment and all that to buy a house, and I'm using Fund and Grow, which is a business credit, how long do I have to wait until, you know, I get that refinance out to get that money out in order to pay back that business credit money, just so that I don't have to, you know, pay every month to get that business credit back? Because it's a business credit, I just want to be careful in how I invest it. That's all. That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Dia. Great question. So if you are interested in the funding option, now you will save $500 off your sign-up fee if you use our link on our website. If you go to morrisinvest.com/funding, we have a funding tab right at the top. We've been partners with Fund and Grow for years, and they've helped raise, I think, over $100 million for our clients at Morris Invest. So it's definitely an option. It's not for everybody, but you will get 0% interest funding through multiple business lines of credit using business credit cards. They negotiate. They do all of the work. If you've got bad credit, they'll actually help improve your credit. They're fantastic. So again, if you go to our website, you'll save $500 off, and it's very affordable. It's very cheap to work with them. It's way cheaper than getting like a hard money loan, et cetera. And we have a whole webinar that we go through and explain all those different details. But it's a good question. So how long do you have to wait to the refinance process? You don't have to wait at all on a refinance. You know, if you have bad credit for some reason, or you have some other, you need to jump on a deal. I mean, the beauty of having this type of credit is you could use it for your business. You could use it for home repairs. You could use it to consolidate, 18, 20% interest credit cards down to 0%, because that's what they do. Or acquire rental properties, which is how I've used it. I've bought multiple rental properties using this method at Fund and Grow. And then we've been able to refinance into 30-year notes very quickly. So there's a couple different banks that we've been able to roll that over into, like Flagstar Bank has been a great one for us. So Churchill Mortgage, Dan Krause at Churchill Mortgage has been able to do a lot of refinances for us. So it's a great option, a great way to look at it, but you don't have to wait. There's no amount of seasoning that you would have to wait on. Let's say you use the Fund and Grow method to acquire a piece of rental property. You do some fix-ups on it. Maybe you buy it at off-market or discounted, and it needs some work. You improve the property, and then you get a refinance. And now you've built equity. Home prices are continuing to skyrocket across the country. And so now you get a home loan, a 30-year, 15-year, and refinance out of it. The beauty is you can do that within a year. But if you need longer, the Fund and Grow method allows you then to even roll that particular amount of debt that you've used on the business credit into another year. So they'll help you if you need to then roll that onto additional 0% interest credit cards, maybe 2 years, or you could even go as far as 3 years. They've had a lot of clients that have done that. Imagine how much equity you can build up over that amount of time, especially if you have tenants in the property, right? Tenants in the property who are helping you build that equity at the same time. And then you're also improving the property, plus the appreciation of the property over those 3 years, and then refinancing out of those properties. So it's a great option, and it's a great way to grab an enormous amount of rental properties in a short amount of time. It's a method I've used to great success. So thank you, Dee. I hope you enjoyed my answer. If you have any additional questions, please let us know. All right, our next question is from Armin. I think it's Armin. Let me check and see. Here we go, Armin.
Hi, Clayton. This is Armin from California. I'm listening to your podcast for a while. I have a question regarding real estate. So if you would have $100,000 cash in hand, what would you do in terms of real estate? Let's say, would you buy one rental or even more maybe? And if yes, where? So please note that I live in Southern California, and I would like to hear your advice. Thank you.
Thank you, Armin. Thank you for the question. Well, number one, California is one of the worst places to invest in the United States. So I would never buy a rental property in California, because you're not going to get the return on your investment. Plus, the laws in California are onerous for landlords. It's a huge mistake. And that state is only getting worse. It's only getting worse. As far as like laws for landlords. So I would avoid that at all costs. Now, unless you're doing some large commercial venture like warehouses or something like that, but I'm talking single family or double, duplexes, things like that. I would avoid it at all costs. Not to be biased here, Armin, but I would give us a call, book a call with our team at Morris Invest. Just go to our website, morrisinvest.com. Because for our goal at my company is I want you to keep as much of your cash as possible in your pocket. And so, for instance, our single families that we build, their new construction built from the ground up, and duplexes built from the ground up, they're completed and there's a tenant moved into the property and cash flowing before you're ever even able to buy it from us. Like, you do not get in at the head of time. It has to be completed with a great tenant in the property and signed off on by the banks who are willing to put financing on these properties. So you could then keep that money in your pocket and use a portion of it as down payments with these incredibly low interest rates right now. You know, we had a team meeting last week and we're talking about all of the conventional financing options that are still available for our clients. When we work with over 60 different lenders, and the numbers are just crazy. It's free money right now. So Armin, to answer your question, no, I would not want you to take all of your money and go out and just use all of your cash. Use other people's money. You know, Robert Kiyosaki wrote a whole book on it, OPM, other people's money. Anytime that you can leverage these incredibly low interest rates, bank financing, you're getting free money basically from these banks right now. And because like what we're able to do with our properties is then also give you at closing a cost segregation analysis, which is something you can take to your accountant. And in this calendar tax year, you can then take that and get almost your entire down payment back on your taxes in the form of, because if it's a cost segregation, you're able to accelerate that depreciation and get that money back in the first year. So in many ways, it's an infinite return. You're getting that down payment cash back on your taxes, and you're keeping almost all of that cash basically in your pocket. So I would not part with your cash. That's just my opinion. You know, some people like to say, I just want to use all my cash and just put it out there. And no, huge mistake. I used to think that years ago, but now we are talking crazy cheap interest rates and banks need to lend. And this is an amazing opportunity in an appreciating housing market to take advantage of using other people's money. So that would be my opinion, Armin. Just go ahead and book a call with us. We'll help you out. And if we can't help you, we'll point you in the right direction. That's what I always say to people. So again, free. You can book a call for free just by going to morrisinvest.com, and we'll jump on the phone with you for 30 minutes and we'll walk through your options and see, you know, it's not a one size fits all approach. We really try to take a customized approach. So Armin, your situation would be totally different than Jordan and Dia who called in today. So we really want to work individually with people at our company. That's our goal. So if you have a voicemail question you would like to ask me about real estate, financing, anything like that, please do. You can go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Again, that's morrisinvest.com/Clayton. And there will be a little microphone button. You tap on that and record your voice for up to 30 seconds or so. Try to keep them about 30 seconds. That way we can answer more questions. Now, thank you so much for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. If you feel like anyone could learn from this, please share it with them so they can start to learn about investing in real estate. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.